My name's Lindy Burns. This is the evening show across Victoria on your Tuesday night. And you might remember that after the appalling attack by ISIS in, well, members who say that they, of course, follow the teachings, for whatever that word might mean, of ISIS in Paris recently, that back in on November 17th, that the activist group Anonymous came out and said that they had declared war on Islamic State following those Paris attacks. I found that fascinating. Not quite understanding what they meant by the word war, not quite understanding who Anonymous is, and not quite understanding how they might go about it, and indeed if it would be effective at all. At the time, I can remember thinking, you know, this is something that I should take up with Still Garion, of course, who is a regular contributor to this show, a freelance journalist. He's a commentator, a podcaster, and talks to us regularly about the big picture internet issues and cybercrime, etc. I thought that if anyone would know, it would be him. Let's find out if I'm correct. Still, good evening to you.
Good evening, Lindy. I hope I can live up to that enormous build.
I have this vague impression at some point you're going to come out and say, well, as a member of Anonymous, then I can say blah, blah, blah. What is your understanding of who Anonymous
say,
is?
I suppose, would I?
Yeah, you would not be able to say that's true. Who is Anonymous?
Well, that's one of the great questions that we have, because Anonymous really is anonymous. It's a group of people, and I'm pausing because I don't even necessarily want to say group of people, because anonymous is anyone who wants to say that they are part of Anonymous and support its goals.
So we could say that and then not actually do anything?
We could, but that's probably missing the point, because
okay.
Anonymous does see itself as, well, I suppose a vast, unseen and secret army of vigilantes. And this all sounds very, very grand and very strong. But at another level, people who are part of Anonymous would also see that it's part of a joke. Many of the things they do are for the lulls, for the jokes. But obviously, there is a serious political side to people who list themselves as part of Anonymous as well. And, you know, you can hear me, I'm sure, hedging around.
You are hedging. You never hedge.
Trying
you're totally
to say
hedging.
This. I am totally hedging, because if you ever say that Anonymous is a group, or if you ever say so-and-so is one of the organisers of Anonymous, people involved with Anonymous will very soon tell you there are no leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a consensus that a group of people who are indeed all anonymous will gather under the banner of the Anonymous brand. And we've seen that in the media. The Guy Fawkes masks from the movie V from Vendetta, the headless body in a suit with a question mark instead of a head, and so on. They're media brands. But, you know, it grew from what was a kind of group of pranksters on the internet back in the middle of last decade, into a large, amorphous, politically active group that means different things depending on the country you're in. And I think probably the easiest thing to do as an analogy is the group Occupy, mm-hmm. which began as Occupy Wall Street, and it was very much a political organisation against the people they called the 1%ers, the top, you know, the richest 1% of people on the planet who have most of the money and who they saw as manipulating things to their advantage. So as the Occupy movement began as kind of a protest against that hyper-capitalism, it broadened out around the world into kind of a protest against authority, against corruption, against broader kinds of capitalism. And in the same way, Anonymous kind of began as pranks back in 2004, 2005. In 2008, people under the Anonymous banner took on the Church of Scientology and revealed many of its secrets.
Yes, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, and that was called Operation Chanology or Project Chanology. Mm-hmm. And it suddenly all of those secret rites of the Church of Scientology were out there in the public, and no one knew who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, Anonymous became fighters against secrecy, against secret surveillance, against corruption and so on. But then as more people came under that banner, because it's quite attractive to fight authority as an anonymous warrior, it got reflected and reinterpreted in different countries around the world. So we have, for example, now a group of people under the banner of Anonymous taking on Islamic State, or as they call them, Daesh, or as they've started calling them, Daesh bags, yes. Which is part of the mockery that they're trying to incite.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, Anonymous in Indonesia attacked Australian websites when it was revealed that Australia had hacked the phone of the president's wife in Indonesia.
Yes.
You know, so you know,
it
that
can
was
be used for their own purposes.
Yeah,
so how often is it targeted at one particular global cause? I mean, we're talking about Islamic State here in particular, or Daesh, and how many of those groups from various countries would kind of be rallying to the flag now?
Well, obviously there's a strong French contingent in this. I suspect that I've just been speaking this evening to someone on Twitter who associates with this, and his or her Twitter profile and website talk about a non-ISIS North America. So I'm assuming they're from North America. I may be wrong. They are anonymous. This is what it keeps coming back to. But that person seems to be associated with, you know, selling T-shirts to promote the cause, and they're doing so as a non-profit thing. But when we look at some of the things that Anonymous has been involved with over the years, it's the shooting of Tamir Rice last year in Cleveland. So he was the 12-year-old boy who was armed only with a slug gun, as we'd call it, a BB gun, as the Americans would call it, and he was shot to death by a police officer. They have previously, quote, declared war, unquote, on Islamic State over the Charlie Hebdo shootings at the beginning of this year. They've declared war on the Australian government over its mandatory telecommunications data retention legislation.
Yeah.
The shooting of Michael Brown in the United States and so on. So, as I say, it's reflected and reinterpreted in different countries around the world. Obviously, in the United States, protesting against the violence of the American police is something that's very important in the United States. In the Middle East, it's almost fractally complicated, just like everything else in the Middle East. You have the Turks against the Israelis against the Palestinians against, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Tell me how effective they are, and does it depend upon their target at the time?
Very much that depends on the target. And because Anonymous can be everyone and anyone, they're tends to be a few people who are quite good hackers, and then many more people who are beginners, shall we say, mm-hmm. at the lower levels of complexity. So what might happen in an anonymous campaign is you will find that there's a lot of activity on Twitter and on social media, a lot of websites that are loosely associated with the target are defaced, that is, hacked and some message put up. And that's not as complicated as it sounds, because many websites are poorly defended, as we keep finding out as the months go by. And also, what people put on a website is stuff that's meant to be public anyway. So when someone says, oh, I hacked the CIA website, we'll go, yeah, that's you vandalised the brochure rack in the foyer kind of thing. It's you didn't get into the CIA or anything secret.
Yes, yeah.
But at the same time, over the years, there have been people associated with Anonymous who have been exceedingly skilled hackers. And a few years ago, there was an offshoot of Anonymous called Lulsec, and they have all been arrested. It turned out to be a group of about eight mostly young people. I think the oldest was in his early 30s, but most were in their teens and 20s. And they were the ones who broke into a lot of Rupert Murdoch's newspaper sites in the UK, defaced the website for The Sun, broke into the network of private American securities companies Stratfor, and stole a number of secrets and so on and so forth. So within I suppose, this cloud of enthusiastic but not necessarily skilled people, but people who are driven by either the political message or just by the sheer joy of being part of a demonstration and the adrenaline that that brings, there is sometimes at the core very skilled people who are getting into, further into protected networks and doing some real damage to organisations.
So how much, by the way, in case you've just done the Radio 1, Stilgherrian is here. We catch up periodically throughout the year, and tonight we're talking about hacktivism and indeed Anonymous versus ISIS. How effective can it be? What sort of things are they doing? Let's ask that question next. So, I mean, what I've seen has been, pictures and videos of ISIS activities where the heads of the actual participants have been replaced by rubber ducks.
Yeah, and look, this is part of their campaign. There's a story at Metro in the UK where they've repeated some of the list of things that Anonymous has suggested people could do. In fact, they've declared this coming Friday, December the 11th, as an ISIS trolling day. That is a day in which they're asking people to mock Daesh, as they're calling them, with Daesh bags, as I said before, Islamic State, ISIS, ISIL, etc. And they're looking for people to mock them by posting video, posting photographs of goats while implying that they're talking about ISIS members' wives. And at one level, all of these things, mocking videos, so on. At one level, you think, what is the point of this?
Tinkering the edges.
When I spoke with someone earlier, he or she made the point. This is the thing, they're anonymous, that their goal is really to reduce the fear that people have about ISIS. And I'm just trying to find the tweets in front of me so I get this right, because they did put this quite well. Daesh slash ISIS are absurd. Seeing this reduces the fear of them. Mm-hmm. Being part of this is empowering. So really part of their point, at least as this person put it, is that by banding together and mocking Islamic State, they're really reducing the fear we have of them. And I thought, gee, we did the same in the Second World War, that there was propaganda of Hitler showing Hitler in drag or Hitler with a small penis and, all of those things, which when you think about it, they're not going to win the war, but it will just kind of reinforce that sense of, hey, we're better than them. We're not going to be afraid of you. And so I can kind of see the point they're coming from with this day of mockery. I don't know whether I agree with it. I don't know whether it's necessarily a good tactic, but at least there are people involved with Anonymous who can put forward this, it's a coherent media strategy, shall I say. It's not a lunatic plan.
And it's also very much from the grassroots up. Because once upon a time, it would be a case, I mean, yes, that propaganda thing against Hitler was very much out there, but I think a lot of that was actually put in place by the governments, by the English government and by the British government and by the American government. And,
absolutely.
And this was seen as a tactic that they had come up with that they saw as being an adjunct to the military activity that they were doing. In this instance, it's almost as if they're saying, well, you people in charge seem to have no idea what to do with these guys. So hang on, wait, this is what we think is the best way to at least start the conversation, or at least move it away from the fear that everybody else seems to be reacting with, which I see is that really is powerful.
It certainly can be, and the more I think about it and the more I talk about it this evening, the more I kind of understand the strategy. Although I should say, there is one aspect to Anonymous which I think bears keeping in mind every now and then, is that because anyone can say they're part of Anonymous and the members are, and even members is too strong a word, the people involved are communicating in online chats and so on, it's very easy for someone to create a false identity. It would be very easy for some of those false identities to be created by the intelligence agencies of various countries, and for the whole thing to be not as grassroots as you might imagine.
Yeah. I've got a lovely text as well from Mark that says, how do we know still that Anonymous isn't ISIS? They are anonymous. Yeah, we don't.
We don't know whether they're anonymous. We don't know whether they're the CIA. We don't know whether they're Russian FSB. We don't know whether they're me in my spare moments, although I'll say it's not because I really don't have time.
I need to finish this up. I want to know what the reaction from ISIS has been. Do we have any idea about whether they are perturbed in any way, by the way? This has gone about.
Not that I've seen directly, but what we have seen, or at least Anonymous is claiming, is that they're putting more pressure on channels like Twitter and Facebook to remove accounts which they're identifying as being connected with ISIS, and they see that as part of the battle. So, look, it's an early thing yet. I don't know whether, you know, a real organisation with real weapons and real territory in the desert of the Middle East is going to worry so much about being mocked. But then, I guess in the grand scheme of things, perhaps people will be less likely to go from the West and join their cause if they think they're a bunch of geese or goats.
Yeah, or goats. Yeah. I think it's a really powerful thing. I just like the fact that it's really inventive, and it's using the way in which the world communicates with each other now in ways that we would never have thought was possible.
Exactly, and certainly, you know, with so much of Islamic State's propaganda being promulgated via Twitter, I mean, it's by massive numbers of automated tweets through Islamic State's own quite technically sophisticated network on Twitter that make sure that those beheading videos get to the top of people's searches and so on. So this is, if you like, a pushback against that sort of propaganda, and whether it's grassroots, whether there's an element of more covert organisation in it, who knows, but there it is, and we'll see more of it on Friday.
We will see. Actually, it'll be very interesting to see how that goes on Friday. Thank you so much, Stilgherrian. It's always lovely to talk to you, albeit it's often about things that make me go, really? Really?
Pleasure, Lindy.
Thanks, Stil. Bye.
Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Freelance journalist, commentator and podcaster, and a man who deals with the big picture internet issues for us and for himself and for other media outlets as well, cybercrime being his special area of research. Stilgherrian, do you understand what's going on with Anonymous and ISIS? A little bit better. I do, actually. A little bit better. And I love the fact that it is all kind of like an amorphous mass of people just sort of gradually heading in a particular direction. We think they are. We'll find out.